I am trusting that everybody had a good Thanksgiving holiday and that we are remembering to always be thankful. I have never in my life done an Advent series. And yes, I know it starts next week. But hey, I'm just ahead of my time. So today I'm talking about Advent. Why is people laughing? Watching and waiting. And I'm going to go through Isaiah. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Now, if you are experienced in life like myself, I find encouragement that even the youngsters are going to get tired. So is it even you shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Lord, teach us to wait. Teach us to wait upon you. It doesn't mean lazy boy watching football. Do I thank you that Syracuse won yesterday? But it means we anticipate. We expect. We are letting go. We are letting go. Lord, we get trapped in life so often when our expectations are not met. When our opinions don't seem to be elevated. Sometimes we get mad, God, because you just don't do things the way I want you to. But let us understand, Father, what you're saying in these verses. Even strong young men with vim and vigor lose their strength when battling the divine. That we need you, Lord God. Help us to wait, Lord. Help us to watch, to be prepared, to see, God, what is it? I pray that even everybody in this room, that our prayer today would be, Lord, you place somebody in my life today, right now, this day, that I can share the gospel, the good news of the living God, Jesus Christ, with. Oh, we wait for you, Lord. But it's with an air of excitement, knowing that you're going to move. Bless this time in your name. Amen. I am not a patient person. When I first was a newlywed, my wife was amazed at how many different foods I could eat cold because I didn't want to heat them. And you know, we all have traditions and holidays. I have this tradition that I really shouldn't have, but it's when I buy my wife a Christmas present, I give it to her way ahead of time. So we grew up in the Morrisville, New York area, and between Morrisville and Casanova, there's a little town called Nelson, and just south of Nelson, there's this beautiful little Welsh church, has a cemetery. It's just picturesque. So about a month ago, you know, somehow Mel's on the internet and somebody had taken a picture of the church at night with the doors open and the lights and just a million stars. So with my daughter's help, I found the picture and I found a company that would make it into a picture. So I got it in the mail and I gave it to her. Because I knew I am not going to wait for a month and a half. Now I got to come up with something else possibly. I might just put a bow on that as we hung it on the wall. So I have done this time and time and time again. Why? Because I'm impatient. Have you been talking, if you're a parent, you're talking to somebody, maybe you're on the phone, and you got a little one that wants to talk to you? And if they're anything like mine, I know they just sit there and wait patiently for you to finish what you're doing. Then they say, can I please talk to you? No, that's not what happens. They bug you and, hey. And then, you know, it's kind of like, tie my shoe or something. Like, can I have another piece of gum? It's like, really? Oh, you laugh. You guys are the same way. We used to have a pastor named Paul Wagner. And I love Paul because I never went to church growing up, and he used to teach the practical. And he said, if you want to talk to somebody, wait. If they're talking to somebody else, stand at least 5 to 10 feet away from them. Because there's nothing like you're talking to somebody like Francis is talking to this person, and I just stand here. And what am I saying? I am more important to you than your conversation right now, lady, so let's get with it. Why? Because we get impatient. Like I said, this is the first time I've done any kind of Advent series, and I'm not even going to say I'm going to do it from now till Christmas, but I'm looking to do that. But to me, Advent is a season of anticipation, the coming of the Lord. You know, I look at the Christmas season, and we can all dig the nativity scene. You know, you can dig little baby Jesus. Sometimes he's plastic, sometimes he's not. You know what we forget about at Christmas? The cross. That's the purpose for Christmas. That God sent his son to pay for our sins. So Advent is a time of anticipation, the coming of Jesus Christ. It's a time to celebrate and reflect upon the second coming. Which, despite what you might read, people don't know when it is. Even Jesus. I know there's people out there that do. Because they're more important than Jesus. I'm just being sarcastic. Boy, am I. Let's move right along. We need to unlock the power of God in seasons of weakness. And you know, what I want to say to this church is I'm looking at where we're going. I'm looking where God wants to take us. And I want to say it's time to rise up. And it's time to believe that the living God lives in you. And you're doing a great job of this. I want to encourage you to press on. Man, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. Can I embarrass somebody that really doesn't know me? There's a young man in the left corner who did great in cross country this year, that started the season with a severe injury. Man, he pressed on. God healed him. He did fantastic. I don't know if you've ever done cross country. You know what I found once when I tried it? You don't run the first half a mile because then you got like 3 more miles and you're crawling the stinking thing. So you got to pace yourself. I watch a show on YouTube. Katina does kilos, eats kilos. This is amazing. I have seen this girl in under an hour, and she probably weighs 100 pounds. She can eat 8 to 9 pounds of food. She's my hero. I mean, this is amazing. Somebody showed me this, and it was really gross, but I couldn't take my eyes off it. I mean, she sprints through the whole thing. Bah, 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 bah. I can eat fast, but I die doing that. So, unless you're Katrina, whatever her name is, I think it's Katina, we need to pace ourselves. So the first thing we need to do is unlock God's power. We need words of hope. This is what Isaiah 40, 30, and 31 is. It's words of hope. As an older man, you know, I had dinner with a buddy of mine that was my best man in my wedding. You know, we were in high school together and stuff. And I tell you, young people, you know what's so cool about life? You get together with somebody when you're young and you got to think about, what am I going to talk about? You don't have to do that when you're old. It's name that aches and pains. Hey, what meds are you on? Okay, what do I have going on? I got shoulders, I got an ankle, I got a knee, I got all this. I mean, you can just talk forever. So I like reading this verse because even youth shall faint and be weary. So when I faint and get weary, I don't feel so bad because I know the young people are the same way. And I read these verses, and one thing I realize is oftentimes we compare ourselves with others and we always come up short. When you compare, you do one of two things. You either really elevate your opinion of yourself or you feel like a heel. Now, the situation Isaiah was talking to at this time was that instead of praising the Lord, the Jews were complaining to God that he acted as though he didn't know their situation or care about their problems. Have you ever been there? Yes, you have. If we're honest with God, there's times we wonder, why am I still going through this? Why did this happen, God? Don't you even care? I know you love them because look at their life is easy street, but God, you don't care about me. And the truth about these verses is that when we encounter a long, hard road, we need to look to God for his strength. A lot of times, especially if you're of the male persuasion, you tighten your belt and you press on. You know what? That's a remedy for disaster. Now, I'm not telling you to be lazy. And I'm not telling you not to get engaged. But I'm telling you we need to look to God for his strength. Because I find when I try to do things on my own and I just make my opinions and my plans and I do it, pretty soon I just end up empty. I feel overwhelmed and I feel spiritually dry. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You know what I cannot do even though God gives me strength? Beat LeBron James one-on-one in basketball. Well, if I had faith, I should be able to, right? Now, isn't that a stupid thing to say? Yes, it is, Pastor. We all do the same thing because we don't get to this verse. This verse says, I can do whatever God calls me to do. That last song that we sang, Shout to the Lord, was like 30 years old, but I used to play that all the time when I was going to Bible school under Mike Webster, especially when I had to preach. When I'm in my preaching classes, because, man, it would overwhelm me, because what they would do is everybody would grade you, and they would critique you, and there's some holy rollers that thought they just had to critique everything, and they don't understand the word of encouragement. Oh, and there's Doc, and talk about the video, there's Dr. Webster right there filming the thing. And when you're done, you get to go home, and you get to watch yourself and critique it. And when you get done, you do the VHS, that's how old it was, and you zip through it, so you see all the stupid mannerisms. You do way too much, so you try to cut down on it. It was living hell, excuse me. So I used to crank that. I had my cassette, that's how old it was. I put it in my little broken-down Subaru, and I would play that song over and over because I needed God's strength to get up in front of a bunch of people and preach. Because it was hard for me to do. So in Isaiah 40, it's set in a time of exile and upheaval for God's people because God judged the disobedience of his people and he allowed the Babylonians to defeat them and take them into exile in Babylon. You see, sometimes God allows negative things in our lives when we're not walking with him. Because God loves us so much, he will allow anything into your life that will bring you back to trusting him. See, God is not going to enable my independence. God is not going to enable my sin. But in Isaiah 40, we see the living God wanting to comfort his people and give them hope by promising restoration. You know, there's so much more to this season than just celebrating the Savior's birth. I am not a Scrooge. I am sick of Christmas music. I had to go to, what's that fancy store? I don't know if you ever heard of it. Oh, I had to go to the Dollar General last night. And, now, where my daughter lives, it's really cool. They got a DG Market. I mean, this has groceries and everything. This makes our Dollar General pale in comparison, but I digress. I just want to listen to worship music. Every Christian station, I pray. Christmas music. It's November. That's okay. If you love Christmas music, you know, you can come to the altar when I'm done. We'll pray for you. It's not December yet. There's much more to the Savior's birth. You know, and those of you who are challenged in an age category like me, you may remember Tapestry, the 1971 album by Carole King. A few years back, my daughter, my wife, and I went and saw down at the Landmark. They had a Carole King, like a musical life story thing. It was kind of cool. She wrote the song, You Got a Friend. that you just call out my name and you know wherever I am. I know what you're thinking. I don't have time to sing it. You just call out my name and you know wherever I am. I'll come running to see you again. You got friends like that? I got friends I know if I called, they'd be there in a heartbeat. I know the friend I met, had dinner with a couple nights ago. If I give him a call, he'd be there. I got news for you. That's what God says to us. Come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden. I will give you rest. So in this season, when we look at the different verses, God is saying, I got something for you. I want you to put your cares on me. Like I said, a friend of mine's brother died a couple days ago. My prayer was that they meet the living God and they just experience him in this time. You know, we need to embrace the impossible, winning over whining. Last week, I had a picture of Frodo. This week, I had a picture of Gollum. This week, I want you to be Frodo. You know the little guy with the fuzzy feet? And if you watch any of the Lord of the Rings, when all these macho people are talking about, I'll take the ring, no, I'll take the ring, you have this little weak hobbit saying, I'll do it. God wants people to say, I will do it. This is overwhelming, this is too big. I will do it. Took me a year and a half to accept the fact that God was calling me to be a pastor because I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to talk in front of people. When I was in my preaching class, man alive, did it bring back elementary school speech classes where I had to my parents bought me a tape recorder, and you had to read stuff into it, and it was humiliating. But I know one thing, and God says, I want you to do it. Then you know what? We need to say, I will do it. Because with God's leading, you and I can all be Christian MacGyvers. I'm not talking about that lame show from a couple years ago. I'm talking about the classic from the 80s. MacGyver can do anything. I saw the guy speeding down the hill in the Jeep with no brakes, and somehow he climbed into the engine, and he did stuff, and then he had brakes. It was amazing. I want to be MacGyver. Trusting Jesus Christ to give me the strength to do the things he called me to do. We need to learn to say, why not, instead of why. Let's do this. Why? I like things the way they used to be. Anybody have turkey this week? Have it for the next 4 months and tell me how you like it afterwards. Let's not change. Let's just keep doing the same thing over again. God is going to meet our needs, even if it's manna. It may not be turkey every night, but it may be manna where God gave his people food every single day. And they still whined. So how do we receive the power of God to endure trials? Accept the realization that you need God's help. Everybody need, you know what, I like helping people. It's hard for me to ask for help. But I need God's help. And you know what I find? When I resist it, God loves me so much, he tightens those screws. And he makes it harder. And he makes it harder. But God loves you, which is why he will make it. Until I come to the end of myself and say, I quit. Then he rubs his hands and goes, now we're in business. You know, you need to tap into God's strength by finding hope in the Lord. Strength is available to replace and renew. This is what Isaiah is talking about. Strength is available to replace and renew the strength of everybody who is worn out. When you are worn out and you feel like you can't go on, it's time to say, fill me up, God. It's time to turn to the Lord and allow him to move in your life. We need to experience his transforming change. We need to place all hope and trust in the Lord. Again, it doesn't mean you get lazy. It doesn't mean you sit back and you don't do things. If you want life with God, you need to be in his word. You need to read. You know, I was reading today in my reading pattern plan today. I opened it up and I'm tired, and hey, you get to read Psalm 119. Now, which is cool. It's 176 verses on God's word, and it really strengthened me. But I got to tell you, when it's early in the morning and my eyes aren't working and the coffee hasn't kicked in yet, that was hard. But it's active dependence that patiently waits for God's timing with confident expectation, knowing he's going to move. Let me tell you, you can wait on God and be confident. How about for a day or two? How about for a few months? How about for a few years? Paul was called to serve God. He was put on the shelf, they say, 12 to 14 years. Look at Moses. He ran ahead of God, so God put him on the shelf to learn something, how to be humble, for 40 years. Trust isn't easy, but it's the key to unlocking God's power. You see, trusting Jesus replaces any false trust I may have in myself. If you trust me, I can promise you one thing. I will let you down. And if I trust you completely, you let me down because you're a person. People aren't God. So this trust replaces human weakness with we will mount up with wings like eagles. Man, have you ever seen an eagle fly? How majestic is that? God is saying, you know what? Maybe you're at the end of yourself. Maybe, young man, you have fallen and you can't get up and you're tired. Well, trust him. Say, Lord, it's not going to be easy. God, I trust you in this. Well, then the enemy's going to attack that faith, and it's going to get harder. And I find a lot of times when I pray and I fast and I seek God, I wish I would open my eyes and it's easy. Sometimes it gets harder because I believe in spiritual warfare, and I know that when I do those seasons, the enemy He's going to try to take me out. He's going to try to discourage me. Gary Smith said, trust enables people to walk the path that God has chosen for their lives. I shared this before. My wife will turn to me sometimes and say, I did not sign up to be a pastor's wife. I said, I did not sign up to be a pastor. But it's God. Can I give you a clue? Sometimes I would love a job, go to work at 8, get home at 5, and I'm done. Weekends off. But I'm not whining because I'm winning. So I trust God. You got to realize something. I'm preaching to myself. This message is for me. You don't even have to be here. I'm glad that you are. I wish there was more over here, but that's okay. I'm trusting God. Run and not be weary. Physically, this is so far from the realm of my comprehension. If I ran from that door to that door, I'd stop here for a break. But in verse 31, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint, because they shall renew their strength. That means to exchange. It means exchange your strength for God. I would rather have the power of God in me than the power of Dick Beaumont. So I need to exchange my strength for God. The word means to hope, to look to God for what you need, not your friend. There's a time, you know, if something hits me, I have a list of people I could talk to and call. But a lot of times God goes, you're losing somebody out of the equation. First thing I need to do is step back and say, Lord, let's talk. I need your strength in this, God. I need your wisdom. So as we look at Advent this season, it's one of joyful anticipation. You know, I put this online the other day. If you know the David and Saul, how Saul chucked a spear at him, scholars now believe that the reason Saul chucked a spear at David was David was playing Christmas music well before Thanksgiving. So now that I read that, I'm saying, too bad Saul missed. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. Now, I'm not really a Scrooge. Well, maybe I am a little bit, but I love this season. I just don't like the music 12 weeks ahead of time. I have a friend of mine, I'm not going to mention her name, she's on our school board, and I'm not mentioning Tanya's name by name, but anyways, she thinks, hey, there's only 268 sleeps till Christmas. Who cares? It's February, or maybe it's March, I don't know. But I'm glad about this season. And I know life doesn't, I'm not making light today, I know some of you are going through it. And I know life often doesn't go the way we expected it. We get broadsided. But that's where faith comes in. Andrew Murray says, we must not think of our waiting upon God, but also what is more wonderful, of God's waiting upon us. So think about that. The living God is waiting upon you. He's waiting for you to turn to him. He's waiting for you to ask, and he will give you and give me what we need. What an image. The living God cares so much that he's waiting. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. He washed the feet of his disciples. A friend of mine goes to a church, and what they tell their home group leaders is, you know, once a year what they would do is a home group leader would take a basin and they'd wash everybody's feet in their home group. And I prayed about it and was relieved. God said, I don't have to do that. But I know as we wait, we get impatient. We get frustrated. My daughter has a chocolate lab named Max. If I get a treat for him as I sit, and he will. Wait. He does. Oh, but you should see him. His butt starts moving. His whole body starts moving. He's waiting, but he's expecting. Shouldn't we all be Max? Shouldn't we all be waiting on God, excited? No, it hurts, cry. But knowing the good treat's going to come, that God is going to move on our behalf. Oh, he gets impatient, Max does, as he waits for his treat. But God has a glorious purpose for you. Do you love Jesus Christ? God has a great purpose for your life. You're not an accident. Oh, it's going to take you longer. You're going to have to wait longer than you want. I get that, but it's going to be great all the way, all the time. You see, God isn't like me. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Okay. He ain't going to give you the present ahead of time. He's going to give it to you in perfect time. In a few weeks, I'm going to look at Simeon. I love Simeon in the book of Luke. God spoke to him, you will see the Messiah. And he waited in the temple, and Jesus is there, and he's just ecstatic. It wasn't because it was a baby, because it was the cross. He knew what the baby was going to do. The Messiah is here for you, and the Messiah is here for me. Isaiah 40, 30, and 31 says, even youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. I'm talking to you. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Summary, God wants to strengthen us in our hard seasons by teaching us to transfer our faith and dependency from ourselves unto him. Waiting isn't being idle. It's looking to God for what we need. Even the strength of young will fail them, so look to God. God's people thought God wasn't concerned about them. His ways are not our ways. His plans are not our plans. Never lose hope in your times of waiting. So close your eyes if you would. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let them sing, power and majesty, praise to the King. Lord, we praise you today. I thank you, Lord, that there's Christmas music out there that worships you, Father. Thank you that we have the anticipation that you want to move in our lives. But the truth is, sometimes movement doesn't happen because we do not look to you. Lord, forgive us for the places where we have accepted and embraced status quo. That we like what is happening right here and now. We like what you've done in the past, and we are comfortable. Lord, I like to be comfortable. But I've learned long ago that faith doesn't occur when I am comfortable. Faith occurs when I have to look to you, Lord, when I look to you knowing that whatever my situation is, your hand would be upon me, and as I look to you, you will guide me, Lord. Father, I pray for those today that need a touch from your hand, that you would encourage them. That we would see, Lord, that we repeat time after time, that we need to be in your word, to be encouraged, to not just read to read, but to allow your spirit to minister to ours. That we need to have a prayer life, Lord God. We need to have moments when we talk to you, when we listen to you, and sometimes when we just sit in your presence and be still and know that you are God. When we neglect these things, Lord, we neglect the movement of your hand in our life, Father, and we won't have the peace to its fulfillment. And Lord, you have called us to fellowship. Your word says, do not forsake the gathering. And I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor, Lord, and I want to fill the chairs. I'm saying that because that's what your word tells us. We are relational people meant to relate to one another, to encourage one another, that when we see a friend going through a hard time, we pray for them, we pray with them, we encourage them. Oh, Lord, thank you that you have a call and a purpose for every one of our lives, Lord, that we are not an accident, that we are here for a reason, Lord. Let us accept that reason, Father. Let us mount up with wings like eagles, Lord. Let us look to you in all things, Father, and I pray that you would move powerfully today, Lord. And Lord, as we close and we look at this season, Lord, we look at the cross. As you told Nicodemus in John 3, to get to heaven, you must be born again, which means born from above, which means we have a human birth. We need a spiritual birth. That's the only key, the only way to heaven. And that spiritual birth is saying, Jesus, I know you're God's son. I know you died for my sins. Forgive me, Lord. I'm going to ask you into my life. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live according to your word, best of my ability. When I stumble, I'm going to ask for forgiveness and move on. When we do that, Lord, you look down and you see your son in us. And we have the promise of heaven. So I pray today, Lord, if anybody has not made that commitment, that as I close in the next 15 seconds, they would say yes and amen to you, Lord. And Father, I thank you for New Covenant Community Church. I think it's humbling to be here with this fantastic group of people. Bless them in your name. And they said, amen. Have a great day.